There's so much culminating right now, and so many things that are ending, and things are now beginning. And God's bringing an end to an old order. And you don't get to see this very often in your lifetime when you see an end of an order and a shift to the new. If you don't make the shift to the new and you get stuck in the old, I mean, you will get left in dust. And when God shifts to the new, you got to run with it. That means you got to gird up your loins and run with it, connect and move with it. Because there is a movement right now in the spirit that's going to release the body of Christ in an unprecedented manner in the last days. Nobody's going out right now. Nothing's going to be happening in this nation right now. God is fixing to release an unprecedented wave of glory and revival and everything, Renaissance, everything, you name it, it's coming. He's not coming back for a church like we look like right now. This world order is not, I was listening to the grocery store the other day and like, well, we're getting ready for the last days. We're stocking up food because it sounds like the Antichrist will be here any day. And I'm like, I said, not today. He's not coming. He might be alive in the air, but he's not going to be here today. Not until the Lord has his say with his church before we get lifted out of here. He's not coming in yet. Don't even let that stuff get on you. You start wearing that stuff, you wear a defeated mentality, run for the hills and wait for the Lord's return. Stock up, go bury yourself in a cave somewhere. That is not who we are. We are the light of the world and we're about to shine greater than we ever have. We're going to shine with the glory of God in this last hour. But you can't see that if you're looking at the darkness, your eye, if you don't govern what your eye is looking at right now, you got to take control of what your eye is looking at. If it's be singular, interwoven into Christ, your whole eye will be filled and flooded with light. If it's not, it'll get flooded with the darkness of this world system. We have to see. To move into that realm of glory, we're going to have to see. Not just going to fall on us. We are led there by the Lord. He is leading us. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. All right, John chapter 12. I'm going to exhort this today, but I'll at least read one scripture to you. I pray you hear me today. I think Paul looked into our dispensation when he said, let's go on to perfection. He was talking about the Melchizedek government. He goes, he saw it. He was trying to get the church. He was trying to get the church in that day. That's the apostolic for you. I mean, you get to look in this stuff that everybody's looking at. And I mean, when you get to look in it, you want everybody to go there. And he was trying to get everybody there. And he was called to build the foundation. That's what they did. They built the foundation. And you and I are called to crown the house. You are part of the crowning of the house where the Lord's going to bring the final stone out. Psalms 118, the stone that the builders rejected would become the chief crowning stone. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. It's the Lord. This is the day the Lord maketh. He's going to make a new day. Well, where is it? It's right here, right in my belly right now. It's like honey in my belly. I'm carrying a day. How many of you carrying a day? Well, I'm carrying the burden of the heat of the day. I'm talking about carrying something from the Father. Wearing it, carrying it, full of it. It turned to honey now. When I get in the presence of the Father, it turns to glory and honey. It's awesome. Okay, John 12:26. If any man serve me, then let him follow me. So you're going to have to start defining the word by the way he speaks it, not by the way, because a lot of times we like to serve in lieu of following. I'll serve you all day, but I don't know if I'm going to be following you up into some spiritual mountain. Let him follow that where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me this way, in this manner, if you will follow me, my Father will honor you. He's going to honor you. He's going to honor your generation. He's going to honor your seed. He's going to honor everything you set your hands to do. He's going to honor you. He's going to love you. Not that he doesn't love you, but you're going to experience a love because you're going to follow into that love. And as they were ministering, I saw this panoramic picture of the Lord standing in every station. I call it a station or a field or every level, so to speak. He was standing at the door of salvation and he said, come to me and follow me through the door. And then he was standing at the door into the kingdom of God. I am the door. If it by me, any man entereth in. And then he was standing as high priest and he was standing as the rest. And then he was standing as the tree of life. Then he was standing as the way, the truth, and the life to the Father, as he that was, is, and is to come, to open the realm of the Father that is to come. And then he was standing at the final place. And I saw all these places. He's standing as our healer. He's standing as our provider. Know you the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty have been made rich. And what happens in each one of these areas, what we end up doing instead of entering into the victory by abiding, we end up trying to work for it. Not you, but that church down the street. Because he has a way in which these victories are assimilated into our life. But we have a way that we pursue it and a definition of by way we pursue it. And sometimes our definition doesn't hit the mark. But we spend a lot of energy, time, focus, and attention in doing it, but we don't hit the mark. The mark is where he stands. The mark is, three times he said it, where I am, I go to prepare a place for you in the Father's house. That where I am, there shall you be also. Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that I have with you. The ultimate will of the Lord is for you to stand where he is. Where is he for you right now? How far have you followed him? Where is he right now? Have you followed him into salvation? Obviously, if you haven't, have you followed him into the door? He stands at the where I am. See, here's the thing. We work so hard at this, but honestly, in every one of these areas, he's already procured the victory. Every single one of them, he stands in a position of victory. He's not asking you to work for it. He's asking you to enter in to him. And as soon as you meet the condition of entering into him, you experience the victory. And what is his condition of entering into that? How did he say to do it? First thing, you're going to have to see it. You're going to have to say it, and you're going to have to exercise faith, which means you're going to have to open your mouth and speak, and you're going to see from the eye of the heart in a focused position. The acknowledging of every good thing that's in you, in Christ, and as we begin to exercise the acknowledgement of that position, the way he said to do it, and we keep the word of that position. The other day, I was talking to Anna, and I said, you know what gets us there no matter what? Is what you do on any given day is going to govern where you are at the end of your life. So he said, your life's but a vapor. I mean, these years just go by. But they say that the older you get, the faster the years go by. I mean, it took 18 years. It took like 100 years to get to 18. How many know what I'm talking about? And those years were so slow. Now you blink and I'm like, we're in October again. Well, how does this happen? You know what's going to happen? You're going to blink and boom, the Lord's going to be back. But what God is offering in our generation is greater than any other generation. What he's offering, I'm going to say in the next 7 to 10 years, what he's offering us, the eternal value of your position in heaven in the reward system is unprecedented. But what's going to cause that to happen is we're going to have to stand with him where I am. Amen. And we have to do it his way. If we don't do it his way, we're not going to achieve the position, because what we end up doing is working for it. And if you start working for it, you're not going to be connected to it. If you'll do it his way, it'll work for you. What is his primary way? And I told this on, I said, if people would just do one thing in their life, and one thing, for a whole year if you would do one thing, keep his word. I didn't say do his word. I said keep. Well, what does that mean? Well, what part of that word is he calling you to keep? Keep the revelation of it. He stands at the door. He stood at the door with Moses. He was the door of Solomon's temple. When you keep that word, you don't just keep a documented fact. You're keeping an image of that. That's why he said he was the living pillar that stood at the door of the temple, right? I'd use the tabernacle. I use the temple. I like it a lot better. Boaz, Jachin, the one that Solomon built. You see that. You enter into it. You say it. You speak it. You hold it. You keep it until you pass through it. Same with the throne of grace. Can you follow me as your high priest and allow me to separate your old man from your new? Can you follow me into a baptism with your old man and a resurrection of your new? Can you follow me to be where I am in a death to your old man and in a life to your new? Can you follow me down into the Jordan and allow me to separate what's in the way? Can you follow me in the Jordan and allow me to separate the veil, circumcise the veil of Egypt, circumcise the veil of the promise of the wilderness journey? Because those veils can't go to the promised land. Can you follow me in to a new image? Or are you going to remain in the same image and do the same thing you were doing 10 years ago the next 10 years? Can you allow me to challenge you? To bring you into victory, I already stand in your victory. I'm not asking you to make that victory. I'm not asking you to be Superman. I'm asking you to follow me and stand with me. Because if you can find me in that place, it'll already be yours. You'll already receive the circumcision. You'll already receive the new identity. Because I hold it for you. I'm just asking you to enter into it. I'm asking you to keep my word. Move your mouth. Move the compass. Move the focus. Move your heart to where I am. And when you are where I am, the victory of the position of where I am will automatically get added to you. Otherwise, you're going to stay where you're at. And you're going to hear other people talk about their victories. And you're going to rejoice, hopefully, with the others. Or get some attitude. I don't want to hear any more about your victory. It's not our victory. It's his. He stands there every day at each one of these positions. He stands at the door. He stands as the high priest. He stands as the Lord your rest. He's already defeated anxiety. He's already defeated unrest. You ever wake up just unrest, unsettled, can't sit still, can't sit down, gotta mow the yard, pluck the grass, clean the kitchen, always gotta do something, never can sit still. Constantly in disharmony, asking God, come and help me. I've already done this. I've already helped you. I've already won that whole battle. Can you enter into where I am and stand with me in the rest so my rest can conquer your disharmony? Because all I'm asking you to do is enter into my victory. I already have it. That's why sometimes it's the most amazing thing. When this journey, sometimes I say, well, when do you start feeling the glory? I said, sometimes, right at the door. Sometimes I don't feel anything. I'm just working the faith until I get to the Lily's Grace. I'm going to feel it there 99 times out of 100 because that was a major, major gift God gave to us. A major gift. I mean, it's amazing when you truly enter into the garden of his rest and he stands at the lily. He is the Father's lily, perfection of rest, perfection of grace, perfection of harmony, perfection of beauty, perfection of tranquility. Stands there with no burden. How much of a burden can a flower hold? You couldn't even put 3 or 4 quarters on a flower and it'd bend it down. It carries no burden whatsoever. And when you enter into it, it's just amazing. All the times, the burden, the yokes, especially in ministry and stuff, business, all these yokes, you don't even know what the enemy yokes you to till you get into the glory. And all of a sudden you just list it. You're just in the atmosphere. All of a sudden you're in this pure, clean atmosphere, harmonious atmosphere, and all the burdens lifted and you're completely burden free. Coming to me, all the labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He that entereth into my rest, he'll cease from all his works. Why is that so important, by the way? The reason why it's so important is because to operate in the kingdom, especially in the Father, you can't have works. The Father will not allow you to operate in his glory realm with works. So you have to be acclimated into the rest where you harmonized with the Father. And as you're harmonizing in the kingdom, you come in, it's not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. He's already dealt with that facet of it. And he's already won the battle. You don't have to win that battle. You think you do. You think because you're feeling disharmony and you're feeling anxiety and you feel like you can't sit still. But all you do, once you enter up in there, once you get there, if you'll stay with it, lock in. Sometimes I have to lock in and I keep saying and keep saying. I wasn't feeling anything. I keep looking at him and I would just say what I see. And you are the harmony. Oh, you are tranquility. I just enter and all of a sudden I get shifted in. And once I get in, I move into his victory. Once I'm in his victory, all that stuff breaks off because that's a system governed by the world. Now I'm in another system. I'm in the kingdom and getting clothed in the kingdom. All of a sudden I've entered into the rest. I have his victory. I'm abiding in him. I have it now inside me. It's in my heart. It's in my mind. It's in my body. I'm harmonized. Amen. Mark 8, Luke 17, I think. Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13 talked about the word of the Lord, the word of the kingdom. He said something very amazing when you put all four together. It said it like this. He said that he that heareth the word of the kingdom, understandeth the word of the kingdom, he that receiveth, heareth, receiveth, understandeth, and keepeth the word of the kingdom will bear 30, 60, 100 fold fruit. Listen, not every word of your Bible is the word of the kingdom. There is a specific word of the kingdom in there. It's the word of the kingdom. That's the one he asked you to keep. That's the one that deals with entrance, exit. It deals with inheritance, operations of God, the glory realm. All that's the word of the kingdom. You can say all the upper room mysteries, word of the kingdom. He said, if you'll keep this word, it'll get you there. All the way to 100-fold fruit. Amen? The same word of the kingdom. I saw him stand at each one of these levels. He said, and he spoke to me. He goes, I don't choose how far you go. When you stand before me in reward day, I don't choose whether you made it or not. You choose it. He said, in earth, it's not as important to people. In heaven, it is the treasuries of heaven. Your reward with God determines your position. And your position is set for all eternity, cannot be changed. You ever read Rick Joyner's book? When he talked about going through the door, he went into the judgment seat of Christ. And the whole body of Christ was in there looking at the events of the last days. And he would walk down the aisle. As he was walking down, he'd meet people really famous people of his day, people he looked up to, people he would just 5 minutes with this person. I mean, can I just have 5 minutes? And they're saying, they're introduced and says, whatever you, don't follow me. Don't follow my books. Don't follow my writings. Don't follow anything I did. And he was shocked. He goes, what do you mean? Some of the things you did changed the world. They said, don't follow me. I did it for me, not God. Then he got closer and closer to the throne. And the glory was getting higher and higher. And he saw all these people at the throne. He saw all these empty throne seats. And the Lord said to him, I cannot return until that fills up with the heirs that will rule and reign with me. The ones that will sit as kings and rule and reign with me for eternity. And the Lord said, he goes, I don't determine your seat. I already gave you the capacity to go there. I gave you capacity. I stand at every part of your life in a perfected state. I stand at every position that I'm asking you to follow me into. I stand in the full victory of that position. I'm not asking you to win the battle. I already did that. I'm asking you to follow me. I'm asking you to obtain by entering in and keeping that position Amen. Man, when he said that, it just shook me, it rocked me. He said, you determine how far you go. But he said it like this. He goes, it's not your hunger that determines how far you go. Because you can have hunger and go beat the air. Like Paul said, I am not one that beats the air. You can have hunger and thirst, but beat the air. You choose by how far you follow him in to where he is. He says, the further you follow me in, the more I guarantee the outcome of your eternal position and the outcome of my kingdom operating through you in the earth. The further you follow me in, I begin to guarantee your life, your calling and your destiny. Doesn't matter how many weaknesses you have. That matters nothing to him. Because if you have the kind of faith that can follow him, you can take all your weaknesses in with you. And he'll perfect them in there. I told Anna, when she started praying, I said, listen, when you start praying in this realm like this, and she started really praying with me this last year, and I mean really going up in there with me, I said, this realm's so different. Because once you start getting up in this realm, everything gets accountable really fast. Stuff you were doing before, you can't do no more. Say, you can't do no more. God starts changing and addressing things, and he brings you in and he shifts things. He delivers you. I can't tell you how many times I went into that place and got delivered. Serious deliverance. Yes, your pastor. Stuff came out. There wasn't God. I just entered in. I didn't do nothing but enter in. I was just dwelling, worshiping. I'm not telling you no more. It came out. It was ugly. I'm like, where did that come from? They ugly. They hide. He said, just because I use you in the anointing doesn't mean that stuff can't be there. He goes, but in the glory realm, the higher you get, it can't stay. That's the difference between the anointing realm and the glory realm. In the glory realm, it's going to get tapped. The higher you go, I'm going to start. He'll clean you up. He'll fix you up. He'll transform you. He'll judge you with righteous judgments. Even if it hurts, he'll judge you. He's judging you out of love because he doesn't judge that part. The enemy will use it. It's all part of the realm. The higher you go, you get into the where I am of his glory. You get into the where I am of his life. He goes, you're only touching my life. That's what he said the other day. You're only touching it. And I'm like, well, let me eat. He says, you're just touching the realm of the Father too. But then he opens, he stands as the door of him that was, is, and is to come. This is the awesome one. He says, now when you enter into this one, I will you be with me where I am that you may behold my glory. This one's a little different because you're actually entering to my standing now. You automatically qualify by entering in by faith. Say faith. Sometimes everyone thinks we got to fix this before you can go in. You don't have to fix. He already fixed it. Receive it by faith. He'll fix. Trust me. He's in charge of fixing you. He has to represent you before the Supreme Court of Heaven, the Father of Light. It's his job to be your intercessor. It's his job to be your high priest. It's his job to be your mediator. He mediates. I'm trying to run up in the Father. He goes, you are not ready to run up in the Father yet, but I can bring you here to get you ready. He's in charge. If you'll follow him, he will get you ready to get up in front of the Father. People don't know this. When I spent a year in the Father's love, I got caught up for a year where he started unraveling the orphan. Man, the orphan spirit, it's awful. It's very hard to get rid of outside of the Father. Very hard. Control the whole thing. Dysfunction, you name it. And I remember 3 years before that happened, he started teaching me how to keep his word. And back then, okay, I'll just keep the word of the Constitution. I'm just going to keep the word that's flowing out for the world. You know, the word of promise. This one. when I was supposed to be keeping the other one, the word of union. I just didn't know it at the time because we were learning, right? So I was just keeping this. And all I do is go up before the throne of grace and before what I perceive the Father. I'd go into that Matthew 6, pray, shut the door, enter your Father. And I would rehearse this before him every day for 3 years. I missed probably 10 days in 3 years. I'd rehearse the whole thing. Not word for word, but I would do a panoramic thing before him. And a panoramic rehearse it with nothing. Nothing. And all of a sudden, this gate gets opened. And I go into the Father's love. And for a whole year, I had free access to his love. And that's where that whole series came from, Mysteries of the Room. And that's when he started fundamentally transforming. And I'm like, did he answer this? Not yet. But yes, he was answering it. Because what happens when you keep his word? It didn't even matter if I was keeping the wrong word. I kept his word. All he did was search the heart. And when he searched the heart, he says, not ready, not ready. I had a lot of not readies inside of me. I'm sure you're perfect, but I had a lot of not readies. X, X, X. The angel that was probably searching the heart, he goes, oh, we've got a situation down here. We don't have very many qualities that qualify him right now. And God said, let him in. And he begins the transformation process to answer that constitution. And then he starts opening this realm of the Father, all this Father's glory, because he's introduces us to the Father's love. Right? But then he starts moving us into the Jordan where we died. And then he starts opening the promised land. Now he's him that was, is, and is to come. He goes, can you follow me? I'm like, why do I do this? You're standing in the promised land. I'm standing in the Jordan. I'm waiting on him to come and get us. For another year, by the way. We'd walk out in the Jordan for a whole year. And hold that constitution before him. And I keep saying, he's going to come and get us. He's going to come and appear before us. He's going to come and get us. He's going to move us in the promised land. And it was Cody that was praying with me one day. He changed my life. He goes, I think we're supposed to walk on out there. I'm like, what? You have the imagery. Just walk out into Jericho. Just step over by faith. It was like the light went on. And all of a sudden, that opened the perambulation. We stepped over into the future. How do we do that? I took his promise, and I stepped out into what his promise would look like. What it was saying, what it would look like, what I perceived it looked like. Started stepping over in the promised land. And as soon as I started doing that, I started saying again what I was seeing. But now I'm walking out into a realm that nobody ever taught me how to do this, into the realm that is to come. And as I begin to do this every day, it started opening and opening and opening and opening. And he started painting all this stuff on the inside as we were. He goes, now you're dwelling in him that is to come. You're dwelling where I am and in his come. You are now beginning to see the way I see. And the Lord said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. Now you see what the Father doeth. The chief qualification of bringing the promised land into the earth is to see what the Father doeth. Not see it just prophetically from a distance, but see it, wear it, touch it, taste it, feel. And suddenly in these premonitions, we'd go through this thing every day, and he'd start opening all these assignments. As we would do it, it became living. It lit up. The same Father that loved me as an orphan standing there loving me, and he promised it hadn't even happened yet, like it did happen. I'm rejoicing, I'm weeping, I'm crying, I'm in this living love and life and glory like it already happened. And nothing's happened in the world, but it's happening on the inside. I go, what is going on? He said, you're in the Father of lights. You're in the Father's glory. In this realm, it already has happened. Because you're standing in a position that's called done or finished. And because of it, you're feeling the finished work. You're feeling the glory of it, the love of it, the life of it, the finished reality of it. You're thinking like God. You're talking like God. You feel like you've won. You feel the victory. It's in you. It's getting it's getting transferred to you. Think about this. In John, when he said, in that day, my Father will love you. And then you'll pray to the Father in my name, and he will give you what you ask. Okay, God's a spirit, right? He goes, and I'll do it. But he's going to give it to you. So God, the Father, transacts spiritually. He doesn't transact in the natural. The Lord's going to do that. He's transacting spirit. So how does he transfer a spiritual inheritance that's invisible to the natural eye, invisible to the senses? How does he transfer that to you, to where you're a carrier of something the Father gives? How does that work? What does he give to you? How does he transfer you? He's probably going to transfer the image of it. Just the way he saw things, because he's creative. Justin's out there in Grand Canyon and sending these images of the Grand Canyon. I'm like, that's the creative of the Father. That's the creative Father. Look at that. That'll expand your vision. You get out in the Grand Canyon, it just goes for a mile. I mean, it would just expand the expansiveness of his mountains, and it affects you. It affects the creative realm. I mean, God's going to transfer his word. Jesus is going to come and preach parables to you. But when God transfers something to you, he's just going to transfer a documented fact to you in the spirit. He's going to transfer a feeling to you. Or is he going to transfer an image? An image, a living image from a living book from your life that you haven't walked in yet. That was predispositionally planned for you. And when you're in there, he's already given you image. Case in point, he'll send you a word, a revelation, a prophecy, an encounter, something about your future when it explodes on. Remember the time God's done it when it exploded? Did it explode with documented facts? You see a bunch of words? Or did it explode an image? You saw your life. You saw something. You saw. Why? Because it came out of an image-based Father. Creative image released inside you. I found out how to go in there and dream with him in the perambulation realm. And the more you do it, he said, this is how Father transfer whole seasons. Now, you can ask him for things here, and you can get a reception. But when you're asking for a season, we have to rewrite your whole life down there. There's a lot to be rewritten for all of us. Wouldn't you say, does any of us look like the kingdom of God right now manifested? If you do, bring the wheelchair in and you get him out. See what you got, Big Houston. So we're in the Father of lights. He's rewriting. He's got to put the image inside you. Why? Because you're carrying the wrong image. You just don't know you're carrying the wrong image. He's got to tear down the old and then bring in the new. That's why the Jordan Baptist is so powerful, because he can cut down that fallen image. But then you got to get the new one in. We don't spend enough time in the new image. We're waiting on God for the next encounter, when all we have to do is enter into the frequency of him that is to come, and he'll start downloading it by agreeing and releasing your faith. Somebody comes in here, oh, I don't see anything. No, it's not you don't see anything. You don't want to see anything, or you won't step out to see, because you're afraid, if I step out, it might be my soul. So God tells you from his position of eternity, he comes and speaks you down there, and he tells you you're going to be an apostle of the nations. And he shows it to you. Boom. You see nations. I mean, you talk to some of the great apostles, God spoke to them. Even Paul Crouch built TBN. Before he built it, he saw all these stations just completely covering the earth. He saw it. He covered nations, the image of it. Now, when you go in, so we know it's his will, you know it's his plan, explodes with life, you have his word, you have his confirmation, but when you go in, well, I'm afraid to see that the way you showed it to me, because I might be in my soul. You see how that works? You are not allowing yourself to release and to see what God has said. When you come to God, you must first believe that he is. When you come to him with a promise, you have to know that that promise is already preordained. But if you know that you know, that's why you need to write it down. And you have his word forever settled. I'm going in front of the Supreme Court of Heaven. When I get in front of him, I got to have something. What better thing to have but his word? And what he said to me personally. Now I have substantiation. So now I'm not afraid to dream, because I already know you said this. And if I get off a little bit, you can fix me. God has fixed you up until now. You don't think he can fix you inside himself? Up, he's off. Cast him out. Oh, he'll love you down here, but don't go messing up there. Don't even try it. Don't think about it. You'll get in your soul, your religious thing, you. Back up. No, you got to go in faith with the Father. That's what people are not releasing. They're not releasing in faith. They're not daring to believe and to dream. You got to dare to believe. You have to dare to see and to dream the dream that Father has with you. What thrills him the most is when you come into his glory and you start agreeing. I dare to dream. God, finally someone agrees with me. And when you start doing that, you start seeing and saying, then he activates himself and he starts opening his book to you. You know, the living book of your acts. He wrote a book of acts. A book of acts of people. Imagery. See that? You shall raise the dead. You shall raise the dead. I want you to look at those words. You shall raise the dead. You shall raise the dead. Five words. You don't think like in words. If you're going to raise the dead, you're going to have to see the dead being raised. Not see five words. You shall raise the dead. You have to see him doing that through you. And in you, where are you going to see that? Not in the mind's eye, in the earth. You're going to see it in the Father, in the creative realm. As you see it, the Father transfers his will to you. Start getting clothed in the living element of it. You are standing in the Lord where I am in the realm of the glory that is to come. And if you keep standing there, guess what? All the glory of the realm that is to come is going to keep getting on you. If it keeps getting on you, he's going to load your barrel. He's going to load your bowl. Amen. He's going to load your bowl with the three measures. I think I have the three measures down. I taught it four different times, but I think I got it. You ready? Three measures. Measure number one, got to have his word. You have no business being in the Father if you don't even know what you're in there for. Got to have his word that he sent to you. Bring that with you. That word's going to hold an image, and that creative image of the Father is going to get released from himself. And he's going to clothe that word inside you with a full panoramic image that's going to create a new day in your life. And he's going to give you the creative substance called dunamis by which he created the whole world. Those three measures are going to get mixed up in a bowl inside you. And that bowl is going to get mixed up inside you, and it's going to grow. And when it grows, there's a day it's going to leaven, like the three measures are going to leaven out. And when it does, it's going to break out from you into the earth. That only took like 20 years to figure that out, but you know, I'm sure you'll get it by tomorrow. Hallelujah. So, the more you do this, the more full you get. He fills you up. You see it. Sometimes you're crying. Sometimes you're, some days are stronger than others. Some days are off the chain. Because the Father's love's there. He's literally loving you. It's like you're doing and experiencing your promise in this living realm of the Father, though it hadn't happened in the earth, but all the love, all the glory, all the excitement, all the life of it, it's all there. You're experiencing it, and you come and go, oh my God, I just lived a day in my future. I've met with some of you in my future. Where am I now? I'm in the Father that is to come. How many of you are following him into there? You haven't followed him in there because you've been afraid. Some of the Lord said, some of them, they're afraid. They think they're going to be in their soul. They don't want to release. They're not used to doing that because they're not used to doing that. They back off of it. God can fix you. It's okay to get out there a little bit with him. You might find him out there. You might find him standing on the Grand Canyon and go, oh my, you're much bigger than that hill in Houston, Texas. We don't even have mountains. You have to travel somewhere else to go look at a mountain. I'm talking about going up the mountain of God, and we live in a flat city. Why did he do this in Colorado? Where all the mountains, see that mountain? That's what God, the majestic glory of it. The snow, the glory on it. I mean, you can see that. So where is he now? He's in every one of those places. But he said, where's the next place? Oh, I'm in the earth now. All that the Father's giving you, I stand in the earth now. I'm your rewarder. I'm your finisher. I'm your completer. I'm the doer. I'm the maker. I am the rewarder of those who diligently seek me. I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. I'm the performer of that word. Oh, you're not going to perform it. I'm going to do it because that's spiritual. The only one qualified to take that spiritual inheritance that was downloaded to you from the Father and translated into the earth is me and the Holy Spirit. I want you to know me this way. Stand with me now where I am as the rewarder and judge me faithful and don't let go until you see me do it. Because the first time you see me do it will be the first time of many. And once you see me complete the mountain, for those who have ears to hear, for the rest of your life, you'll be going this. You'll be going in, clothing, and going out. Because guess what you're doing when you're going up and down right now? You're building a road. And each time you do it, you know, the first time you go somewhere, before you had GPSs, you had to get a map, draw out the map. You know, now we just plug in the address. You draw the map and you go up. It takes you forever. You do the wrong look. You have to stop, put the spotlight on the map. But then if you do it for a while, you just go there. I mean, you'd be talking on the phone, just go there. You're driving because you have the map. Once you get the map, you got the road, you got the road. Now you've got things that can travel down. First birth is the hardest one. Abraham took him 25 years. What, he birthed like 8 of them right after that? Bam, 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 bam. I mean, they were just a machine after that. I mean, at 100 years old, he had eight more children. 25 of the first one, 8 just came right out after. That's the way it is. Once you birth, the first one's hard. After that, bam, bam. Amen. And the greater glory is to be able to teach people how to do it. The greater glory is to take the deep mysteries of God and teach people how it works. Show them the blessings. We're in showtime now. We're in show and tell season now. I don't know if you know that or not, but we are moving into show and tell season finally. Thank you for making the journey by faith. I mean, for 10, 20 years, so you've been taking a journey. We hadn't seen nothing but words. I don't hear another word about the right hand of God. Do I see it? But you made it. Now we're going to see it. How you know that? Because I got it in my belly right now. If you could look in here, there's a lot up in here. Not because I'm perfect. This part is perfect. The rest of it, he's still working on. But this heart thing he's got going on right now, we up in the groove and the frequency. He'll get the rest fixed as we go. Well, he's not going to give you anything that makes you perfect. Well, he gave Peter a revival, and he definitely wasn't perfect. Amen. If you think you got to be perfect, God use you. I pretty much think most of us are disqualified. So we get down in here. Okay, I'm going to close now. So we get down here, and now he goes, can you stand with me where I am as your rewarder? Can you know me where I am and judge me faithful? That I will do, and I cannot lie, and I will perform what I said to you 33 years ago. And I will finish this mountain, and I'll finish with a great demonstration, and I'll begin a brand new day, and I'm going to write a whole new season now. A whole new day is being written, and I'm going to write it just like I created the earth. I'm going to create a brand new day for you and your descendants. Can you believe that? Stand with me until you see me do that into the earth with your natural eyes, the way you see it in the spirit. I said, you know, I will. I'm going to stand here till it happens. That's how I know we're at the finish line, because that's what he's talking about right now. When we call it the finish line, it's the beginning line too, because now it's going to open up the big mountain. You know, when everyone sees that, they're going to run to the Father's heart. They're going to run in. Clothed with something big. Why? Faith is going to be in the atmosphere. Demonstration in the atmosphere. The impossible is made possible. The 4-mile has been broken now. Everyone's going to start breaking it. You're going to have Usain Bolt coming out of here. I mean, he takes one step, he's in the finish line. Bolting through. Big stuff coming out. All of a sudden, people of God, their faith's going to go through the roof. And I'm going to give you this mystery before I close today. Where I am in any one of those places has already been finished. He goes, I'm already the rewarder. I just want you to know me as the rewarder. Well, show me. No, that's not the way it works. He goes, know me first by revelation. Work the faith that I'm your rewarder. Man, every time we're doing that now, that glory gets thick. Because you start feeling it here. Before, I never felt it here. Now we're starting to feel all that glory up in the jurisdiction of the earth. It's like the two realms are becoming one. I have a big promise in here. We have a big promise called the corporate eyewitness, which I honestly believe the Lord is going to appear to this whole church one day. But he's going to make multiple appearances. It's a big promise he said a long time ago that's going to substantiate the apostolic office and move this office into a ordained office. Do you understand what commissioning and ordained does? I'm going to finish with this. You understand what that does? When you are commissioned, God binds himself to you under commission. He binds himself. He has to work with you. That's what a commission is. We are not commissioned yet. We are in training. Amen? We're in process. We're not commissioned. He has to appear for the commissioning, for the apostolic commissioning. You should get that. Man, well, you know how many times we've been up there asking him to see? All these people get that so freely. And I'm like, I've been 15 years believing you to see you, and you give all these people this stuff freely. And I was having all this attitude. I'm like, God, I've kept your word. They don't do anything. You just start appearing to them. I'm like, why? Can't you just appear? I don't need you to appear to believe or see. I already believe. But the office has to get commissioned someday. That's what I was standing in the Jordan waiting for him to come out and meet us. He goes, I'm not going to appear to you until the first day of light comes. Because I don't want that light being birthed out of an apostolic office. I want it being birthed out of a believer's anointing. Because if it bursts out of a believer's anointing, everyone can obtain to it. If it bursts out of an apostolic office, then they will only believe it can come from an apostle. And he goes, I'm not ordaining that office until that day of light comes out. Mountains coming out. Listen, the Lord didn't lie. I promise you this. When he said the kingdom of God's like a treasure hidden in the field, who a man can see it, he'll sell his whole life for it. He sees the potential of the kingdom. He'll sell everything out to get it. It's a pearl of great price. You will sell everything and you will focus everything on it because you know what it's going to bring into the earth. Kingdom ain't bringing small stuff out. Kingdom's bringing the whole thing out. It's awesome. The whole creative realm is coming out. You and I are going to partake of the creative realm of the Father. You're going to get to see miracles flow through your hands, through your body, through your authority, and through your faith that you only dreamed of. And the joy of the Lord said, you don't even know the joy of that. Only the beholder knows the joy of being able to take a child whose body is maimed and lamed that has zero hope, or the man that's going to be confined to a wheelchair the rest of their life, and you get to bring the kingdom to them. Under the authority of the name of Jesus. And when you see their joy, the Lord told me, he said, there is no greater joy than that. There's no greater joy anywhere than doing the Father's works in that level. Not going to tell them you love them, not praying for them, not leaving them there. You have the kind of authority and dominion to get them out. You have it on you. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I'll give to you. Rise up. It's what you have. It's what you brought out. It's what you get. Right now, we haven't seen anything, so we get a little discouraged and we get distracted. When you start seeing what's coming out, you'll sell everything for it. I'm just asking you to do by faith right now and sell everything right now because I'm telling you, it's coming out. It is coming out. And it's coming out with a vengeance. It's awesome. Father, thank you for your glorious mountain. Where I am, there shall your servant be also. All the where I am is where you stand, Lord. Let us obtain every one. Let his whole house, Lord, find a seat to rule and reign with you for all eternity. But my heart, it longs for the ones who don't understand, who can't see these things. They don't know what we've been given. You've put a table here. This table has to go to the world now. It has to go out, Lord. The whole table has to be carried out. Thank you for your exceeding grace here and all the mercies, Lord, all the mercies, more mercy than any one person should have ever been shown. You showed. Fulfill that word. I judge you faithful, Lord, to to the very end. Against hope, I believe in hope. I stagger no more at any one of these promises, but strong in faith, giving glory to you that what you've promised, I am fully persuaded you will perform it openly. And we give you all the glory for it.